Hello and welcome. You are tuned in to another edition of Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. I'm your host, Tony Doman, and here on the program each and every week, I find and feature different themes relating to Appalachian culture and then play songs and feature stories all about our topic of choice. Well, today I have a really great show lined up for you. I'm talking with my guest, Jennifer Leko. Jennifer is a former Scottish Highland dancer, and this experience encouraged her interest and love for the Scottish traditions. Jennifer is a vocalist, multi-instrumentalist who plays the piano, guitar, and Irish drum, and she's also an educator. After living almost a decade in Scotland and Ireland, Jennifer realized the strong similarities between Scotland and North Carolina, and her music began to branch out into a genre which helped keep those connections. So today I'll be speaking with her to talk about those connections between Appalachia and Scotland, including talking about those dance and music connections. I'm really excited to be speaking with her today, so please stick around and stay tuned with me here this hour on Radio Bristol. It's going to be a really great, informative episode of Mountain Song and Story today, and again, I'm so excited about it. So yeah, hang out with me here this hour on the program. And to kick things off, here is a tune from my guest today. This is an example of mouth music, a traditional form of song native to Scotland, Ireland, and Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia. Ivia dahua wichiona, Ivia daho na nua, Ivia dahua wichiona, Ivia daho na nua, Kamaradidis maninjis anzarad, Kamaradidis manins kakaranzarua, Kamaradidis maninjis anzarad, Kamaradidis manins kakaranzarua. Ivia dahua wichiona, Ivia daho na nua, Ivia dahua wichiona, Ivia daho na nua, Kamaradidis maninjis anzarad, Kamaradidis manins kakaranzarua, Kamaradidis maninjis anzarad, Kamaradidis manins kakaranzarua. Shmarit tachaynami, shmarit tarayni, shmarit tachaynami, ya muafat al-noicha. Shmarit tachaynami, shmarit tarayni, shmarit tachaynami, ya muafat al-noicha. Khunami nafisa gan, nafisa gan, nafisa gan. Khunami nafisa gan, spirit patan zayda. Khunami nafisa gan, nafisa gan, nafisa gan. Khunami nafisa gan, spirit patan zayda. Shmarit tachaynami, shmarit tarayni, shmarit tachaynami, ya muafat al-noicha. Shmarit tachaynami, shmarit tarayni, shmarit.
There was an old man lived over the hill. If he ain't moved out, he's living there still. Sing pa ding ding pa ding 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 da ding 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 da ding 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 day. Well, the devil come up to him one day, said, one of your family I'm gonna take away, singing pa ding ding da ding 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 da ding ding da ding 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 ding. Please don't take my eldest son, there's work on the farm and it's gotta be done, singing pa ding ding da ding 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 ding. Oh, it's not your eldest son I crave, your scolding wife I'm gonna take away, singing fa ding ding da ding 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 da ding 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 da ding 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 day. Well, the old man jumped up with a start, saying, you can take it with all of my heart, singing fa ding ding da ding 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 da ding 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 da ding 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 day. Well, the devil picked her up upon his back, he looked like an eagle scared off of the rack, singing fa ding ding da ding 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 da ding 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 da ding 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 day. He carried her on about a mile down the road, said, oh woman, you're a hell of a load, singing da ding ding da ding 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 da ding 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 da ding 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 ding. Well, he carried her down to the gates of hell, says, poke up the fire, we'll scorch her well, singing da ding ding da ding 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 da ding 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 da ding 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 ding. There were two little devils with ball and chain, up with her foot and she kicked out the brain, singing pa ding ding da ding 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 da ding 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 da ding 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 ding. And 9 little devils went climbing up the wall, saying, take her back, daddy, she'll murder us all, singing, pa-ding, ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, ding. I get up next morning, peeped out of the crack. I seen the old devil come a-dragging her back, singing, pa-ding, ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, ding. He said, here's your wife, both sound and well. If I'd kept her there longer, she'd have torn up hell, singing, pa-ding, ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, ding. This only goes to show what a woman can do. She can whoop out the devil and a husband too, singing, pa-ding, ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, ding. It shows one advantage women have over men. They can go down to hell and come back again, singing, pa-ding, ding, da-ding, ding, di-ding, 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 day.
The Farmer's Cursed Wife from Pete Seeger there, a traditional ballad. The poet Robert Burns actually based his 1792 poem, Carl of Killyburn Braes, on the ballad there. Very great English ballad song, or at least a ballad song with English roots and roots from Europe. So we are going to go ahead and dive on into my conversation with Jennifer Leko today here on the program. It's gonna be great. We're talking a lot about Appalachia and Scotland, a lot of those connections. So I'm really excited about this. So we're gonna go ahead and dive on in. And be sure to stick around with me here this hour on Mountain Song and Story. I have a lot of really great music in between some of our interview clips today. So stick around. Okay, so joining me now is Jennifer Leko. Jennifer is originally a North Carolina folk singer, and she has a strong relationship with the music that traveled over with many Scottish settlers. She also was a Scottish Highland competitive dancer in her youth, and she has a love and passion for Celtic traditions. Jennifer, welcome to the program. It is so nice to have you on. I am so excited to talk with you today.
No, thank you for having me. I love talking about this. This is my favorite thing in the world to talk about. So.
Yeah. Okay. So first off, tell me a little bit about your background. So first of all, in your bio, you are actually an expat living in Brazil, and you're currently here in locally, more locally than Brazil. You're in North Carolina, where you're from right now. Just tell me a little bit about your background. Tell me who you are.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I tell people, well, I'm a Scottish Highland dancer, Scots Gaelic singer from North Carolina who lives in Brazil, which basically is the truth. It's crazy. It was always really interesting because growing up in a really small town in the coastal part of North Carolina, I was the only Scottish Highland dancer. Obviously, it's just not an extremely popular thing to do. And so I grew up doing that because my aunt was a Scottish Highland dance teacher and judge. So she noticed from an early age that I liked to jump a lot, and I was a very energetic child, and also that I had a good natural turnout. And so she said, you need to start Highland dancing, because Highland dancing, you need a good turnout for that. And when I say turnout, that's just the way your legs go. If you're not a dancer, don't worry about it.
Right, yeah.
So I grew up doing that, but my mom was a music teacher. So I also grew up playing the piano and playing guitar and singing folk songs and singing in the church choir. And music was a big part of my life. So I ended up majoring in music education. And during that time, I became extremely interested in connecting those two facets of my life, like the Highland dance and the music. And I started noticing that they were way more connected. I mean, obviously from a musical standpoint, because music and dance, you know, are both musical things. But also just it went further than that. There was a connection there that I wasn't really paying attention to as a child, as I was singing these folk songs that I grew up with. I wasn't thinking how that connected to the Scottish dance that I was doing. So I started exploring that more in college. And then I went on to the University of Edinburgh to study Scots Gaelic. And that just furthered my exploration of these, you know, how everything was interconnected, intertwined, and how meaningful it was to not only who I am, but who the community of people are around me and how we're all connected. And then after that, I moved to Ireland, played music in Ireland for many years. And then I went back to North Carolina mostly because I wanted to share a lot of what I'd learned in Scotland and in Ireland in schools throughout North Carolina to children. I wanted them to feel this connection and understand it. And then I met a Uruguayan man, fell in love with him, and he was moving to Brazil. Very international here. And so then
Right.
we moved to Brazil, and we've been living there ever since. And so that's kind of the Brazil connection. There's
Yeah.
nothing, you know, there's nothing in there that intertwines with my music or dance when it comes to Brazil, but it's a great country and I love living there.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious how have you kind of brought like those Scottish music and dance to the area that you're living? Like, are there other people? I know you're an educator as well. So is it something that you've kind of promoted in that area of the world? Because that's really interesting. And I love the cross-cultural, cultural connections. It's just they're there anyway, but even establishing those new roots is really interesting. Is that something that you've done, or do you kind of just like travel internationally to go, perform what, or your normal job?
No, sure. So Brazil is a really interesting country, and that the culture, the Brazilian culture, they're just so open and they're so happy, and they just have a very open spirit about them, and they really love various types of music and styles and cultures, and it's just a part of them. And so whenever I perform in Brazil, they're just really receptive to Celtic music. They love it. And also there are some there's you know There is a strong kind of community of Scottish people in Brazil. There are several Scottish dance studios. There's a couple of pipe bands.
Wow.
So there are some things happening there. Yeah.
That's really
And I'll
interesting.
tell you
Yeah.
another interesting thing is my husband, I mentioned, is from Uruguay, which is the country right below Brazil, and it borders next to Argentina. So my husband, when I first met him, we began talking, and he found out I was a Scottish Highland dancer. And at that point, he informed me that he went to a British school and he did Scottish country dancing. And he was on a Scottish country dance team, and other schools had teams and they competed against each other. I have since found out that Uruguay has over 300 Scottish dancers. It's a huge Scottish population of people who are involved in their Scottish heritage. And Argentina also was settled by many Scottish people, and so there's also a strong connection there. It's amazing to think about how one small country like Scotland has really influenced, Canada, the United States, Argentina, Australia. It's really amazing, and it really speaks volumes about the rich music and dance and legends and everything that comes from Scotland that people hold on to, and how important it is to people too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, so you just mentioned country dancing and then Scottish dancing. Tell me a little bit about dance. So you were a competitive dancer in your youth.
excuse me. Everyone loves watching competitive, you know, Scottish dancing. If you go to a festival or something, it seems to be like such a popular thing. I love going to those kind of events. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. So a lot of people are confused about the Scottish dance in general. So many people know about Irish dance because of river dance, and
Michael Flatley, of course. Yeah.
And so the question I get the most is, oh, I've seen river dance. Is it like that? No, it's not like that. But there is a portion of it that's like that. So I'm going to break it down. There are three main types of dances that come from Scottish heritage, Scottish history and culture. One of them is very similar to the step dance that you see in river dance. It's called step dancing. And it was a type of dance that was done socially, just like, you know, step dancing and clogging is done socially for fun. It's a little bit more advanced. It's very rhythmic. You do it with a hard sole shoe. You don't have the stiff arms like you do in river dance. But it was lost during the 1700s when, Scottish people were being forced out of their homes by the English and they had to leave, or they just gave up all their land and, you know, they left because they had to, or they left because they wanted a better life. A lot of them moved to the coastal part of North Carolina, and there was another large population that moved to the Canada, where Nova Scotia is, and settled that area. Well, a lot of those Highlanders that settled there, they were isolated. There were no other people there. And so what happened is their tradition continued. And so they continued the step dance, and it's now known as Cape Breton step dance. Yeah. And so that was lost in Scotland. And now Cape Bretoners are going to Scotland to reteach them the dance that was once theirs. So I find that fascinating. The same thing happened with Scots Gaelic. That was preserved in Nova Scotia and in that area. And so although it has changed a bit, the Gaelic is a little bit different, it was preserved there. So it's a really beautiful thing. So that's one style of dance. Then there's country dancing, which is like Ceilidh dance, and it's social with other people, very similar to some of the social dancing that you would see in the Appalachian region, where you're swinging your partners, where you've got four men and four women, and they're back and forth, and that dancing is normally called. It's normally done at parties, and it's a little bit more relaxed. Almost anyone can do it. And that's called Scottish country dancing. And then there's Scottish Highland dance, which is what I grew up doing. And that originated during like the 11th and 12th century. And it was mostly done by men. All the dances are very specific dances. There's nothing casual about it. This is the step you're supposed to do at this time. And so if five people get up to do the Highland Fling, everyone will be doing the same step at the same time. And these specific dances, the Highland Fling, the sword dance, the chantreuse, they all have a story to them. Now, some of them are legends, and some of them have more than one story. some people say the Highland Fling was a victory dance, and it was something that the dance would be done after battle when you won. And some people would say that it was like, it was imitating deer with the way you were holding your hand. So there are different stories that go along with different dances. The sword dance is basically saying that before battle, you would do the sword dance. And if you touch the sword or if you kick the sword during dance, it meant you wouldn't have a great outcome in the battle. So I love these. It gives us like a little taste of history. So I love it when the dance and the music and all of that, they kind of just weave in together, and you get pieces of the puzzle to tell us about our history. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And I love that there are stories connected to those dances. One thing that I love to feature on this program here on Radio Bristol is stories, storytelling and folklore and myths. So I'm always digging around and finding Appalachian folktales, but the connection that they get from, you know, Scotland or England especially is always there. It's always there. So it's I love finding out and learning about stories. So talk a little bit about the relationship between, you know, folk music and dance, especially between Appalachia and Scotland. You know, of course, there are a lot of connections there. And I know that you are very knowledgeable on that subject. And we just talked about dancing, but even one that comes to mind just initially with us talking here is, you know, the Scottish dances and that are very specific to, you know, Scotland. And then you have dances here in Appalachia, like square dancing or contra dancing. It's really specific here. And there's even Western North Carolina square dance, you know, or Pennsylvania square dances. They're like specific dances that you only get in these certain regions. Talk a little bit about that Appalachian Scotland connection, if you can.
Yeah, I can. And, you know, it's almost like I don't know where to start because right. There's so much to say. There just is so much to say. I'm gonna start with the musical aspect of it because it makes sense that when the Scottish people came to North Carolina and spread into the Appalachian region, that, you know, their music and their dance came with them. I mean, that's what we do when we go to another place. We are still ourselves and we do what we're comfortable doing, what makes us feel that peace and comfort and joy. And so their music and their dance did travel with them, and that's obvious. And it's obvious from just that makes sense, but also you can see it. I mean, you can see it in the music. There's some really strong stylistic elements, the tonality of the pentatonic scale that you see weaving throughout both styles of music. And then, you know, but there are a couple of really interesting things that I personally I'm a little bit fascinated by. I don't know if it's my own personal fascination, maybe nobody else is interested, but I really love this. And that's the Scotch snap. And it's a rhythmic thing that happens in music. I think sometimes it's called the Lombard rhythm or something like that. But we even see this in popular music today. And it was really strong in Scotland. And it's basically like, you know, one short note followed by a long note. In simple terms, that's what it is. But the origins of this make sense to the English language because you don't say the word Bonnie, you say the word Bonnie. Mm-hmm. So you get that rhythm of the short and then the long. You don't say uncle, you say uncle. So it really shows you how the storytelling was in the music, how important the lyrical content was in the music, and how that affected the tunes as well, because this transferred over into tunes also, this Scotch snap. And so I really love that because you can also see it in the dance. You can see that the dancing matches the rhythm specifically, so much to the point that back in, if you look at music from the Highlands of Scotland and the Scots Gaelic song, there's a type of music called pishtabiel, which is music of the mouth. And that music was music set to tunes. And it was so important to fit the lyrical content to the rhythm for the dances. Like, you know, it's all connected. It's like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, it doesn't really matter. They're all connected. It's like the dance step is important. So you have to sing it the right way to match what the original tune was. So you don't lose the dance. You don't lose the structure of it. Like all these things come into play. And the rhythm to me is, you know, it's so integral and so important to all of it. And that Scotch snap, you see it in all kinds of music, but especially you see it in all kinds of music from that British Scottish background. Mm-hmm. And I just find it quite fascinating because to me, it brings it all together. It brings the lyrical content. It brings the dance portion of it. And it brings the instrumental portion of it. It brings it all together. It makes sense. It's not like a separation of the lyrics and the music. It's like, that's where it comes together.
Yeah. And there's also that, you know, that intersection of emotion, you know, like dance and music has so many similarities together, you know, and it really can connect with the audience too. Can you expand a little bit on that thought, just that connection and that emotional connection you get with both of those things that are individually can be their own things, but together are also this, you know, this merging of this whole thing.
Absolutely. It's you know, and you've segmented so beautifully for me to go into this. So I began working with a group of Scottish Highland dancers and a group of musicians to put together a show called Highland Echoes. And the reason we put together this show was just for that very thing you mentioned, because our audiences or audiences in general, to see someone dancing on their own, to hear the music on its own, it's beautiful. But when it all comes together on stage in a way that's theatrical and inspiring, with the live music, the sound of the huge sound of the pipes, and a full, you know, a full theatrical experience with the dance and the song and the music and everything, it touches people in a different way. I mean, there's a reason that we go to the movies. There's a reason that Riverdance touched thousands of people and has you know, quadrupled the amount of Irish dancers in the world. You know, that wouldn't have happened if the same amount of people had seen an Irish dance competition. It's not the same. So bringing it all together like that in a way does touch people. And when people go to an experience like that or experience music and dance together, they can connect with it and they can feel themselves in it. Like, they're seeing their story in an artistic way, which makes it just feel more emotional, right? I mean, when you watch a movie and in the movie, they put together a story in a way that's someone can't tell, because they have all the extra elements of, you know, the actors and the scenery and the costumes and then the background music. But that's your story that they're telling. That's your favorite movie in the world. And all of a sudden you're inspired. You feel more connected to who you are. And, you know, you feel like you have meaning and you have value. And I think that's what's important about the music and the dances. It's about connecting to who you are, even if you're not a musician or a dancer. You know, when we're doing music that comes from your ancestry, you may not have ever thought about it before, but now that it's being done on stage, we've just validated it for you. We've validated your sense of belonging, who you are, what, you know, why you're important in this world. And I think that's what it's about. Like, truly, that is so meaningful and so beautiful. And that's something we all need.
Absolutely. And you put that together so beautifully. Just all the connections that come together are, you know, music and dance and even movies. I mean, it's all storytelling is all around us all the time. And it's something that it's not even thought of, you know, it's just, I mean, dance is a story. Music is a story. You put it together. Why wouldn't it be an even richer story? So, and I do want to go back just a touch on a point you made a few minutes ago. You talked about the like language a little bit, like uncool, Bonnie, but we say uncle or Bonnie. And there are so many words like that. Do you know a lot about evolution maybe of language whenever you're talking about, let's say, a group like we're talking about Scotland coming to a place like Appalachia, and how that language, obviously people in their communities are there, they're still kind of isolated and using the same traditions where they came from, but how could you kind of touch on why maybe the language kind of changes and kind of develops into its own thing? I know a lot it has to do with that geographical isolation, you know. I don't know if that's something, I know we're talking about music, but that's just such an interesting point that I'm curious to hear your take on that.
Well, I'm certainly not an expert, but I can tell you a couple of interesting things. In North Carolina, when the Highlanders came over, there was a point in time where people who already lived here and worked in the post office had to learn some Gaelic words to be able to deliver the mail. That tells you how many Gaelic speakers were living in North Carolina in the 1700s, which I found pretty fascinating. So, but that's one little point. With regards to the evolution of language, you know, it's just like you said, in Cape Breton, they were so isolated that not much changed. You know, they were able to keep so much intact. If you look at the coastal regions of North Carolina, a lot of the people who live in the Outer Banks and the lower Outer Banks, they still have a brogue. My dad has it. I don't have it at all, but I don't think I do. my dad has this brogue, and you know, his cousins and a lot of the what they call old salts around here, they all have a brogue that is very similar to a Scottish brogue. And they even use expressions. And of course, right now I can't pull one down, but they use expressions sometimes that I'm thinking that is so Scottish. So I see it here more than I recognize it in the Appalachian area. I think that there was such a mix of cultures in the Appalachian area. It wasn't just, you know, the Highlanders. It was also, you know, Lowland Scots, and it was Ulster Scots. And it was like, I mean, there was so much influence there. There was also the native people already living there. And I think the evolution there was probably quite different than what it is here on the coast. And I think a lot of times when we think about, you know, Scottish immigration to North Carolina, that we think about the Appalachian region, and that's a very valid thought because they did head over that way. But in the coastal region, it's very valid as well. And it's really interesting, and you can hear it in the sea shanties, and it's a different thing completely, but it's super fascinating.
If you are just joining us, you are listening to Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. Today, I am talking with guest Jennifer Leko. It's been an awesome conversation so far. We also just heard a Scots Gaelic song there. It had some Appalachian influence on that recording from Jennifer. And we are going to go ahead and get on into the second part of our conversation.
So let's go back and talk a little bit about music. I wanted to ask, so in your take, why is it so important for these kind of cultures and traditions to be preserved, whether that's through music or dance? Why is it so important for these kind of traditions to be, to, for them to have a platform, like whether it's a festival or musical performances or workshops? And why is it important for them to be happening and preserved? And what's your take on that?
Yeah, well, people want to belong. At the end of the day, people want to belong. And a lot of times they don't realize that's what they're searching for. You can see it in simple things like with sports. People choose a team and that is their team. It doesn't even matter what team it is, but they're going to buy the shirt. They're going to talk about their team like that's a part of their family, because people want to belong. And I think finding that deeper belonging with where you come from and who your relatives are and why you do the things you do. Everyone's searching for that, really. We all need it. And I think that's why it's so important. And it's the same with people tracing their genealogy. The interest is at such a high level. And if you go to the Grandfather Mountain Howling Games, everyone's there wanting to learn more about their genealogy, about their ancestry, because they want to know. They want to know why they are the way they are. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes in with the music and with the dance and the cultural arts aspect, because that is our form of expression. You know, storytelling is a form of expression. Dance is a form of expression. And for people who relate to that, they can really go deeper. You know, I mean, just the cultural arts is a way to express things when you can't do it in other ways. And no one's questioning whether or not the cultural arts are a powerful, you know, way to express and to feel emotion. And so the preservation of the cultural arts, you know, particularly through the legends and through the, you know, the music and the dance of a particular culture, particular country, I think is so important, because if you don't, people are going to just keep searching for it. And, mm-hmm. and you know, you don't want to lose it. You want to make sure that it's there for people to find. It's also important to know, though, when you're creating new works, where you came from. Because then it makes more sense. Your creative mode. When I write songs, to me, it's so important. My songwriting is much more powerful and I can touch more people because I know about my cultural history, you know, where I came from and why I feel the way I do. I'm much better at expressing through music, new music, and through folk music. Or I shouldn't say folk music, but through, you know, more traditional songs, just because other people preserved it and I was able to access it and learn from it and grow from it and be a better person and be a better musician, which gives me the ability to give more to other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And then you are also an educator. We can talk a little bit about that. You mentioned the Highland Echoes, the nonprofit. Tell me more about the Highland Echoes, you know, education, preservation. It really goes hand in hand.
It does. It does. Okay. So I know that you guys can't see me, but my face just lit up because I am an educator. I mean, I started out by telling you my aunt was a dance teacher. My mom was a music teacher. So I grew up in a family that really valued education, and I studied music education in school. And I think that I'm very passionate about engaging in experiences with education. I feel like it's really important for students to actually physically do something to remember it. And I think that's what's lacking. I'm not going to get in my soapbox here, but that's what's lacking. And that's what's really difficult about education these days, you know, and I think that's why a lot of people are choosing homeschooling and other charter schools and opportunities so that they can give their children the opportunity to really engage in enriching experiences. I really feel passionate about making sure that students have the opportunity to explore their heritage, whatever that may be, and to understand that it's valid. whatever it is, it's valid, and that you can explore it and you can connect to it. And that you're not just some random kid out there, that you actually belong to a community of people. In fact, you probably belong to many communities of people, and to relate to that. And so, of course, because I have the connection to Scottish heritage, I have chosen to put together programs that engage students in Scottish history and Scottish dance and Scottish music and Scottish folklore. So I put together a program called Scotland in the Class. And originally it happened because I was going into schools and doing assemblies and workshops with students. But I was able to integrate all of the national standards and the Common Core, which is what most people use in the United States for education. I was able to integrate those standards into the program. And that way they're still meeting the requirements that they need to meet, but they're actually engaging in really enriching cultural experiences. So an example for that is all second graders need to study legends, and they need to understand folklore, and that there's normally a moral to the story. So we use the legend of Scotland the Brave, of Robert the Bruce and the spider. And Robert the Bruce, the whole story of Robert the Bruce and the spider leads up to telling the story that if at first you don't succeed, try again. And he learned this by watching a spider spin his web and it breaking and breaking and falling and falling. And then the eighth try, he finally made it across the cave. And that's what gave Robert the Bruce the strength to go back and fight. So, I mean, this is, and so these are the types of ways that we were able to put together this whole curriculum, this whole unit on Scotland for elementary school kids. And so that Scotland in the Class project has been supported by Highland Echoes. And Highland Echoes is a nonprofit. So we just kind of merged them together, but they have two different names because Scotland in the Class needs to say it's a classroom thing. Yeah. Oh, that is like an educational thing.
Yeah.
So I'm really passionate about that because I love working with kids, and I love being able to share with them things that I love. And so that's been really great. Highland Echoes is also supports a show, which I've mentioned Riverdance before, Riverdance style performance. Where we're able to tell the story of Scotland in the 1700s, and showing the Gaelic work songs and the pipes and the way of life back then, and then the battles through dance and through music, and the evolution of immigrating to Canada and immigrating to North Carolina, and how that looked, and what happened, and what happened with the music and the dance, and how did people celebrate? So we share that whole story all through music and dance.
Yeah. Oh, that is fantastic. Yeah. I love that. And I love that you've been able to incorporate like folk tales into a curriculum. It's so exciting for me. And it's a really great thing that you are doing with that. And Jennifer, we are almost out of time here. I could talk to you for way longer than what we have time for today. But where can folks go to learn more about Scottish history, dance traditions? What are some good resources? And if they're not coming off the top of your brain right now, I can include them in our blog post for this episode. And also, where can they go to learn about what you're doing?
Sure. So I don't have anything off the top of my head where people can learn. I mean, it's been a journey for me. You know, you pick up with people you meet and workshops you go to and different things like that. I mean, that's the best learning source is really attending festivals and meeting people. I think that's the best thing. We do have a lot of resources for students and teachers that are all free at scotlandintheclass.com. And so there's a lot there. There's also a lot at visitscotland.com. It's a great website where you can learn a little bit about the history of different landmarks in Scotland. And I think that's a great resource, actually. So those would be my two, scotlandintheclass.com, visitscotland.com. As far as me, my music is at jenniferlico, L-I-C-K-O.com. And you can grab some free downloads there. So that's always recommended. And then you can go to highlandechoes.com to learn more about our show. We're doing a big 2-week run in the mountains of North Carolina in July of 2022. There's over 25 dancers, 7 musicians. It's going to be a full theatrical performance. And if you were a fan of Riverdance, our fiddle player was the fiddle player for Riverdance for 12 years. So you'll the experience of that he has to offer on stage, which is phenomenal. And he wrote a lot of the music for our show as well. So that's been great.
Awesome. Well, that is really cool. I'm looking forward to that being here in this area. You know, we're broadcasting out of Bristol, Virginia. So we're close to North Carolina. So, but Jennifer, thank you again so much for talking with me today. It's been awesome. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me. It's been really fun.
But most of the days the sun will shine on you. Look at where you're going, look at what you found, and know we are here, your solid ground. We are your home, you'll always belong. No matter where you roam, this is your song. No matter where you roam, this is your song. As memories fade in the nighttime air, and life takes us to places far and new, take a cup of kindness as you go your way, and know is your soul. This is your song.
All right, folks, it's about time for me to roll on out of here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, you can catch this program, Mountain Song and Story, every Thursday at 4 o'clock right here, each and every week on Radio Bristol. You can also check out past shows if you visit the Mountain Song and Story program page on over at listenradiobristol.org. Go check out the website. The Birthplace of Country Music actually just went through a website update. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. As always, you can always check out all of the other amazing Radio Bristol programs on there all the time. Go do it. Also, I've got today's playlist of songs and materials up there on the Mountain Song and Story blog page, so you can learn more about some of the things we talked about today here with my guest, Jennifer Leko. Special thanks to my guest as well. It was such a pleasure speaking with her. I had a lot of fun during this conversation. I am going to leave you today one more song, another English ballad song with Scottish roots dating all the way back to the 17th century. I know you've heard this one before. Barbara Allen, this version is from the Everly Brothers. My name's Toni Doman. This is Mountain Song and Story, and I'll catch you right here next week.
'Twas in the merry month of May when flowers were a-blooming, sweet Willie they grew.